In a world where most people hide their shadows, Cole Blackwell and Mara Eldritch recognize something familiar in each other's darkness. Cole, wealthy heir, renowned artist, and calculated killer of 14 men, meets Mara after she narrowly escapes the Beast of the Bay, a serial killer obsessed with them both. Behind Cole's refined taste and impossibly handsome exterior lies a coldness formed in childhood. Mara, a struggling artist with extraordinary talent, carries the scars of unimaginable abuse from her drug-addicted mother and a parade of violent boyfriends. When Cole takes Mara into his seaside mansion, ostensibly for protection, he recognizes in her a kindred spirit, someone who might understand rather than recoil from his darkness. Their relationship begins with Cole holding all the cards: wealth, security, connections. Yet as they grow closer, something unexpected happens. Cole discovers he genuinely cares about someone else's happiness separate from his own desires. Mara finds herself falling for a man who sees her completely, despite knowing his capacity for violence. What starts as a predator-prey dynamic evolves into something far more complex, a dance between two damaged souls who find in each other what the world could never give them: acceptance without judgment. Seacliff, Cole's Pacific mansion, functions as both sanctuary and prison for Mara. Its stone facade houses museum-quality art collections, reflecting their wealth disparity and Cole's obsession with aesthetic perfection. Sensors tracking Mara's movements via Cole's smartphone become a strangely comforting invasion. Their relationship operates through power plays, blurring consent and coercion. While shopping, Cole selects clothes matching Mara's bohemian style while asserting dominance by secretly controlling a vibrator as she interacts with salespeople, demonstrating manipulation alongside genuine desire to elevate her socially. "I don't want to hold you down," Cole tells Mara about her art career, fingers tracing her collarbone. "I already know I found something special." This captures their contradiction. Cole wants Mara to thrive, yet manipulates circumstances to keep her emotionally tethered, simultaneously nurturing and constraining her growth within his boundaries. Art becomes both salvation and confession for these damaged souls, the primary lens through which they process their deepest wounds. Mara's Sinners and Saints series transforms her traumatic childhood into haunting images that captivate viewers while revealing her inner turmoil. Her work blends photorealistic figures with dreamlike, decaying backgrounds, creating visual metaphors for trauma's distortion of reality. Her significant painting, The Nap, depicts 3-year-old Mara following a calico cat into an overgrown garden, with the foreground showing a child's hand reaching for the cat's tail while the background dissolves into thorny vines, memory distorted through trauma. Cole's architectural art reflects his cold precision and need for control. His black glass labyrinth design for Corona Heights Park becomes the novel's climactic confrontation setting, symbolizing the psychological maze both characters must navigate. Despite contrasting approaches, Mara's chaotic bursts versus Cole's precision, they recognize each other's genius. Their collaborative projects become therapy, allowing communication of truths too painful for words. Both protagonists carry childhood trauma that warped their moral compass. Cole found his mother hanging from a holly tree when he was 4. Before her suicide, she gave him a rabbit to nurture kindness. When the rabbit died with a broken neck, Cole admits he wanted to kill it. His mother's suicide note read, "I can't change him. He's just like them," referring to Cole's father and Uncle Reuben and establishing Cole's belief in his inherent darkness. Mara's childhood was equally horrific. Her mother, Tori's psychological manipulation, was perhaps more damaging than physical abuse. Tori read Mara's journals, wore her clothes, and even offered her daughter sexually to her boyfriend when he threatened to leave, a betrayal that destroyed any moral foundation Mara might have developed. The novel suggests morality is largely inherited through childhood experiences. Their broken childhoods created people capable of understanding each other in ways no one else could, their shared trauma becoming the foundation for a profound connection. Sexual desire in this story intertwines with power, pain, and transformation. Cole and Mara's encounters function as battlegrounds where psychological barriers break and rebuild, stripping away their carefully constructed defenses. Their first sexual encounter occurs after Cole forces Mara to confront her anger. The sex is violent, pushing her beyond comfort to fight rather than submit, a calculated move to break through her passive acceptance of victimhood and access buried rage. This moment marks when Mara's survival instincts finally override her learned helplessness. Later, Cole covers Mara in clay before lovemaking in his pottery room, symbolizing her rebirth. She first tells Cole she loves him here, describing it as madness. This vulnerability stems from newfound strength. She risks openness because she finally feels powerful enough. Both transform profoundly. Cole discovers Mara's happiness brings him joy independent of his gratification, while Mara learns to embrace her darker impulses without shame, accepting her desires for violence and revenge as valid responses to trauma. Revenge drives the narrative as both protagonists pursue justice through violence instead of legal channels. Cole's first murder, his art professor who stole his design, brought him peace, convincing him some injustices require violent correction. After learning about Randall's abuse of Mara, Cole tortures and kills her former stepfather, filming it. He shows Mara the video, explaining, "I need to prepare you. There's no moving on. You have to kill it. I killed it for you." Rather than horrified, Mara feels justice watching Randall suffer. She destroys the evidence, becoming Cole's accomplice and embracing his moral code. The climax centers on their mission to kill Shaw, who continues murdering women while evading police. Mara slashes Shaw's throat while Cole restrains him, a collaborative kill binding them forever. The blood on Snow symbolizes their pact. The novel challenges whether vigilantism becomes justified when legal systems fail, and if conventional morality truly serves those who have suffered most deeply. The novel's title suggests evil exists within ordinary humans, not supernatural forces. Cole and Mara embody this duality, capable of both tender love and calculated violence. Their relationship thrives because they accept each other's complete nature. When Mara confesses to killing her mother, Cole simply asks if it satisfied her. Her affirmative response earns his approval, because it is. This exchange reveals their shared moral code. Violence can be justified against deserving targets. In the epilogue, during Venice's carnival, Mara playfully draws her scarlet feather across the throat of a man who insulted Cole, symbolizing how violence has become their love language. Cole reflects, "Mara has become my other half, not my twin, but the missing parts of me. The emptiness I once thought was the human condition has been filled by her presence. There is no devil," suggests trauma shapes without defining us. Cole and Mara transform their trauma into strength, finding true intimacy by being fully seen and creating their own moral universe, where two broken people achieve wholeness by fitting their jagged edges together.